Dr. Jeffrey Halstead has been Canandaigua's hometown dentist for more than 35 years, offering routine dental care as well as cosmetic dentistry, implants, and dentures by their highly trained and experienced staff. Visit them online at canandaiguadentistry.com or find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Do you want to know what's happening in the Finger Lakes? We do too. We're going in depth with decision makers in the heart of upstate New York to get the answers you need. From the team of FingerLakes1.com, this is Inside the FLX.
Welcome to episode 486 of Inside the FLX. Today we are talking about housing with members of the Seneca County Housing Coalition. Next week there will be an event held at Del Lago Resort and Casino aimed at connecting people with dozens of local agencies, vendors, and advocates. Yesterday, I caught up with Melissa Nesbitt, who serves as the executive director of Seneca Housing, and Joe McGrath, a member of the county's planning department and president of the Finger Lakes Land Bank, to discuss the housing crisis. Check it out.
Sure. So it's a free event, open to the public. We'll have about 40 different exhibitors throughout the county that offer mostly free services, some financial institutions that have different products available that may fit with some of our population that we work with, generally low to moderate income. But this is open for everybody, all incomes, to come and find out what's available in Seneca County.
What is the, kind of as best you can, obviously, this is the third mm-hmm. the third one you guys have done.
That's right. What
is the experience like for the average person who goes to a housing fair? You see, like, housing and services fair, and, there's going to be 40 different organizations there maybe, but like, what is that experience like for the person who's going there? What could they potentially, from start to finish, get an understanding of?
So I'll start with the fun stuff. Fun stuff is you're going to be met with the Seneca County Housing Coalition table, and they'll have a little, basically like a little passport that you're going to have checked off at each table as you go visit. And each table will have free items for you to take, swag basically for everybody. It's required to be an exhibitor. And you can ask questions that are, appropriate for your situation. Some people come, maybe they only have one table they're interested in talking to. Maybe they want to talk to legal aid because they have an issue going on with their landlord or something like that. There's NYSEG, will be there. So maybe they have some gas and electric questions, things like that. But if they go to all the tables and they get their passport marked off, then they're going to be entered in a drawing to win a TV. So that's pretty exciting. And then every hour we're going to have a $100 Walmart gift card drawings from those same entries that people put in. So that's fun, and that brings people in. We have free food, breakfast pizza, coffee, regular pizza and bottled water and stuff for the afternoon. So that's the fun part. The other part is, it's like I said, it's educational. People can come and get some of their questions answered. We have applications for the Section 8 program. There's information about what the planning office is doing in the area. United Way will be there. Domestic violence people will be there. So there's a variety, an opportunity to learn a lot about what's available in the county.
And in terms of planning, obviously, you're both working in this throughout the year, I'm assuming. Something like this doesn't come together overnight. Mm-hmm. So when do you guys start planning? Is it as soon as the previous one ends, you guys are already starting to think about how you can work on the next one, make it better? Mm-hmm. Or what's that window look like typically?
It's not that heavy a lift. It's not a huge undertaking. We have our exhibitors are repeats. So it's a matter of sending out emails, staying on everybody, asking them to sign up. So usually, January, maybe we start the planning. Our sponsors are always generous. We have CFCU signed on and Generations Bank and Lions National Bank. So they help offset the cost of the pizza, the TV, the prizes and those things. They're pretty easy to work with. They know they've done this before, and they know that they'll get for their money when they work with us.
Top issues, top questions that folks have typically when they come out. Most frequently asked questions, I suppose.
Sure. I mean, usually a lot of landlord-tenant issues. So that's a big one. People don't know about some of the apartment complexes in the area. So a lot of times they'll be there to represent, and they have a waiting list and things like that. But they can learn a little bit about that. The NYSEG issue, that's always something. And then a lot of people come that aren't necessarily low or moderate income, but come for the loan products that some of the banks and some of the credit unions are offering. So find out about mortgage rates and things like that. So it's a variety. You get people from all walks of life in there.
Yeah. I'm curious, what's the balance between like advocacy? Because I'm sure a lot of the agencies there are working in advocacy, housing advocacy, like day in and day out, versus like education, where I'm sure you have, you know, you mentioned repeat vendors. You probably also see some familiar faces year in and year out at these things. So what part of it is also, you know, educating and trying to help people, you know, get long-term answers to questions?
Sure. I mean, I think every not-for-profit, especially the ones that attend this event, do both. I mean, advocacy and education, that's all we do. So I would say, you know, the good percentage of vendors, because most of them are not-for-profits that come in. They're all members of the Housing Coalition, which is nice. So we meet on a quarterly basis to discuss housing issues. And the reason it's housing and services is because while housing is our focus and it's the focus of this month because it's Fair Housing Month, we share the same population as far as our clients. So it's really nice to be able to work together to know who has what different programs or what grants or what's available, so that we can relay that information to the people, streamline the services and get it out there as quickly as possible. So that's another really important piece of this story, is that the Housing Coalition is doing great work in the county.
Right. So we work on these issues year round, with many of the folks that are coming to present at the housing fair. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the county planning department works to do is make connections and ensure that services are able to actually get to people that need them. And the housing fair is a really great event that allows people to, in one place, access all of these services and in these products, but also it brings together the service providers as well, and is an organizing tool, basically. So when we're looking at, you know, all these great grant programs that the state might be offering, and we're looking around at who is available, who can actually administer this, who can run this, the work of setting up the housing fair and running the coalition, that all can help organize ourselves to take advantage of other things that are out there.
Yeah. And Joe, you're a member of the planning department. You're also president of the land bank as well. Talk to us a little bit about the issues that you see in housing in Seneca County presently, and how an event like this kind of helps get the county going in the right direction.
Yeah. So the county each year declares April as Fair Housing Month. And this is co-sponsored by the county and the planning department for that. So that's just a piece of what we're working on. We recently completed a housing needs assessment, which I hope that many people have seen by this point. We've diagnosed a lot of the issues that we're finding within the housing market and the housing scene in Seneca County. And what we're trying to do is move to the next step. A few of the recommendations from that assessment was to do a countywide housing strategy, which we're looking at starting later this year. One of the other pieces or recommendations in the assessment was to increase nonprofit capacity, especially for development and supportive housing services. And what we don't have or haven't had access to in this county is a consistent partner, especially for the county or the land bank to work with to actually build housing. And that was identified in the assessment. And we worked with Seneca Housing to put a grant application into New York State for them to become a rural preservation company. So they'll be able to begin actually in partnership with the land bank and the county to begin building housing, which is something that a pipeline is something that we really haven't had the puzzle pieces for in the past. And just recently, we've been able to establish some of those pieces, and we're hoping to start putting them together soon and actually being able to build units, which is exciting.
How important is that when, you know, given the context that among all of the housing issues that communities like Seneca are facing, It's a math problem more than anything else, right? Like there is a shortage of housing units available, period. So how, you know, if you could speak to a little bit of just how much this could potentially unlock down the road when it comes to addressing some of these issues that we see in housing.
Well, I mean, there's no silver bullet. I think this is the RPC for Seneca Housing and the ability to build units on land bank properties that were former vacant and abandoned tax foreclosures. You know, that's an important piece, but it's not the only piece. And with a issue as broad and as complicated as housing, I think it's really important that we are able to use events like this housing fair to help keep the motivation and the optimism high for folks to continue to work together in this county to produce housing. So the strategy is going to be a big piece of it. I think we have a few different towns that are hopefully going down the path of updating their zoning codes and doing things like that. And we're hoping to work with them to make it a little bit easier to add housing. I think, again, no silver bullet, but I think that would be very helpful in some of the places, especially on the north end of helping, you know, not just developers, but homeowners or small landlords or people that are more in the private sector, but not quite developers, actually address the issues within their own household or family where they can, you know, add an accessory dwelling unit or granny flat, if you will, or more easily build or construct a duplex and things like that. That way we're able to add units that aren't just coming from the nonprofit side or the major development side.
Sure.
Because I think the scale of the problem is going to take a lot of different pieces coming together and a lot of different actors to address it.
Because it affects so many. It affects not just low income and moderate income and high income. And I mean, you're working class and so many people are affected.
Sure.
So
and it's
everybody to jump in.
It's a nationwide problem. We haven't been building fast enough for many, many years. So it's COVID really increased the demand and the pressure on the problem, but the problem was there before. So being able to scale up almost society wide to address the issue isn't going to happen overnight. And it's not just going to happen from one nonprofit getting a little bit more funding or sure. something like that. It's going to be tweaks and initiatives and work from a lot of different areas and a lot of different folks.
Absolutely. For folks who might not know, could you walk us through a little bit what the land bank is, how it exists, what it does, what its major goals are?
Sure. So land banks in New York State, many counties and cities have them. There's increasingly more of them in more rural areas. And they are basically state authorized nonprofits that counties can form to take vacant and abandoned properties that are tax foreclosed and return them to productive use, whether that's housing, which is mostly what we do. But a lot of land banks get heavily involved in things like brownfields and environmental remediation. But here in Seneca, housing has really been the focus. And it's almost as if putting the land bank in the planning department, in a sense, was asking the planning department to try to build a house or a number of houses in Seneca County and see what you can do. And we've had a couple of successful projects throughout the years. And in the course of that work, we've kind of been trying to identify all the barriers and the issues to development that could be applied countywide. So that's basically what we do.
Yeah.
One of the benefits too is keeping these properties out of the hands of slumlords. So that's been really beneficial for our clients, I know.
Yeah.
So we really try to, we normally take the worst of the worst from the foreclosure process. Mm-hmm. We do a fair amount of demolitions And in our inventory right now, we have a number of just vacant lots in villages throughout the county, but mostly down in the South End and Lodi and Interlaken and Ovid. So later this year, we're going to be working to actually build on them in partnership with Seneca Housing as this RPC and add some badly needed rental units, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Housing issues that you hear from folks in the North End versus the South End of the county, a little more access, a little easier to get around in the North End, a little more rural and a little tougher to get around. Transportation is more of an issue in the South End, of course.
Transportation is the biggest issue. Yeah.
Is that the primary concern that you hear from folks when you're talking to them about the housing issues that they're facing?
I mean, generally that's well known through and all the not-for-profits know. And the difficult part is, RTS is wonderful for having these dial rides, but you're getting dropped off, you're waiting hours, for a ride. So we've had people, that come in from the South End to our office, they'll get dropped off down by the library. They have to walk 5 or 6 blocks, whatever. And then, come in for 15 minutes of paperwork. And now they have to wait for 3 or 4 hours where I'm just like, get in my car, I'll just bring you home because it's easier. So I just think about how difficult that would be. I can jump in my car and go where I need to. But can you imagine having to plan your day like that and try to figure out how you're going to get stuff done? And so oftentimes we'll talk to people and they say, oh, I can't, I have an appointment that day. And I'm thinking, well, you have whole day, but it's taking you half of the day to just get to and from. Yeah, which it's just unfortunate. So hopefully that's something that we can, down the road we can improve.
Seneca Housing Inc. Walk us through what the whole year you guys are operating year round. Yep. Obviously this month your work is pretty focused on this particular event, this particular issue. Rest of the year, what are some of the things you guys are working on that folks probably have seen or interacted with?
Sure. So year round, we administer the HUD Housing Choice Voucher Section 8 program. So that's constant. That's happening all year round. In October, we run a fundraiser, a masquerade ball for veterans housing, our veterans housing initiative. And so right now we have one completed project, 2 that are in the pipeline that should be done by spring or very soon. And I guess we are in spring, but soon. And we'll get those rented and then we'll work on whatever the next one's going to be. So we do that. We have jumped in this year in the light of Menzo cases passing. We kind of jumped in to help out with Habitat for Humanity to get things kind of squared away, make sure they stabilize. And we'll kind of figure out with the board from there what's going to happen in the future. So we do a lot of, and again, work, in conjunction with all the other not-for-profits and the Housing Coalition to kind of keep things going.
Yeah. Last question here. I want to kind of take the long view on all of this, housing related issues. When you look out, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, what do you guys think success looks like in terms of moving the needle in a positive way when it comes to the issues that you guys are seeing and being talked to about at events like the one coming up next week?
Mm-hmm. More housing stock, right?
Yeah, I think if we're able to build an amount of housing that the people that live here can actually attain, that would be a major step forward. And as I was talking about earlier, it's not going to just be nonprofits that are working to do that. But and it's a substantial increase in attainable units for folks. I think will go a long way to bringing some of the pressure off of many of our service providers and many of our residents are feeling with the housing crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agree, disagree, have anything to add there?
No, I agree. I think the state has a lot to do with it. And I think that they need to really consider a lot of their actions and how it affects landlords, because if you don't have landlords, you can't have renters. So it's very heavily renter focused. And I think during COVID, landlords really got beat up in this state really terribly. And so many long time landlords said, I'm done. And they sold their properties. They got out. New landlords said, well, I'm not going to, put up with this. And they jacked their rents up. And so it's a weird time right now. And I keep seeing that, this information and about, the Republicans and Democrats trying to decide how this hash this all out with the housing and the increases being 3% or 10%. But I think, that needs to back off a little bit. And I think that would be helpful for our local government. I can't say enough of right now how supportive they've been. I think our county's been fantastic with this RPC and with this housing, declaring a housing state of emergency. I mean, Joe and I, I remember standing in front of the board in 2017 saying, hey, you know, there's a housing shortage. It's a big deal. Now they're paying attention and doing something about it. So I think that's progress. I'm happy there. That's a lot of progress.
Yeah, I think we have made some significant progress just institutionally at the county to start thinking about these things a little bit differently in the short time mm-hmm. that I've been here. And it's been really, really inspiring in some ways mm-hmm. To look at where we've been and then where we are right now as we're having these housing related conversations. So I'm hoping that momentum continues as we go down more intensive paths of trying to do things to address this problem.
Mm-hmm. Our new county manager, I mean, a lot of people know this already, he's a victim of the housing crisis. He can't find a place. He's our county manager. He's living in a mobile home in the south, way in the south end of the county behind some building of some sort. So, I mean, it's not ideal for him or his family. It's, and he understands. So I'm meeting with him and he was really supportive of this. And so has the board been. So I think that's sure. good.
Yeah. And I think, so the Housing and Services Fair focuses, a lot on sort of the low and moderate income mm-hmm. issue, which is a major part of it. And it's all tied together, sure. right? So there's only so many housing units and, I'm hoping that we're able to think about the housing crisis as a community. And, you know, when you have folks that are trying to become homeowners from renters, and you also have folks that are maybe looking to downsize and retirement age or something like that, that's the same house that they're trying to buy. And since we have a shortage, that's part of the reason that the prices are continuing to climb is because we have a lot of competition for the same relatively affordable house mm-hmm. and building costs are so high. If you build a new house, it's really only attainable to the highest income folks. So, you know, higher income housing, I think, is definitely part of the answer, where if there's an outlet for folks to purchase that house, they're not mm-hmm. buying the house that, you know, somebody of more modest means would like to purchase. So, yeah, it's hopefully going to be in all of the above strategy to address these things.
Sure. Thanks so much for coming in today, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.